News Radio.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Interfacing complete. Please stand by. Now downloading Tech Talk Radio with Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ. Tech Talk Radio, it's technology you can understand. And now, here are Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ.
Welcome to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. I'm Dr. Richard Schertz.
And I'm Jim Russ, and welcome back.
Well, thank you. It's great to be back. I, of course, in Ireland the week before St. Patrick's Day.
That's an exciting time to be there, I'm sure.
Yeah, very exciting time. The pubs light up every single night.
Were you lighting up the pubs?
I was up there as an observer. I just got my glass of a Guinness draft and just sat back and observed.
I hear it tastes better over there than it does here.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. And and they have to let the Guinness sit for a while before they serve it. There's
really?
Kind of a whole ritual they go through.
Is there really?
Oh, I had no idea. You just can't put it out like a Bud Light. You've got to go through a whole ritual. And it was really quite nice. And it actually snowed while I was in Ireland.
Did it really? That's an oddity.
I mean, I had no idea there'd be snow there. It was sort of like snow flurries, and so the roads were freezing up, and actually some of the fountains out in front of the hotels were actually frozen. So it was cold over there, but very enjoyable.
But they serve the beer warm, don't they? Serve it room temperature?
It's room temperature. Uh-huh. But the barrels tend to be sitting outside in the storeroom that is cold, so it's a little bit cool, but it's uncooled, if you know what I mean.
You want to talk about why you were over there?
We were looking for some study abroad sites for Stratford University, and we located a few, and we're working on trying to get something going there. We've worked with some universities in that area, and it will be nice if we can, develop the study abroad program for our Stratford students so they can spend some time abroad in Ireland working with businesses over there in externships. Mm-hmm. So I'll have more about that as it develops.
Excellent.
But it's a great, great area. A lot of things are happening in technology, a lot of politics and technology with internet taxing. The head of the FCC is resigning, and the first domain celebrated its 28th birthday this month. So we'll talk a bit about that, and we're going to feature a little bit later in the show yet another physicist. He was recommended, by the way, by one of our listeners in Maryland, Stephen Wolfram. He's a physicist who created Mathematica software applications and also the Wolfram Alpha Answer Engine, which is actually one of the engines which is used by Microsoft Bing as well as Google Search. So he's sort of started in physics and moved into IT, and quite an interesting guy. And of course, it was a heavy mailbag.
You've been gone.
Wait a minute.
You go away.
Mr. Big Voice, please wait for your cue. It is time for...
There's a letter in your mailbox.
There we go. He is so anxious. He loves that Profiles in IT. We got a letter from a Bethesda listener. Dear Doc Schertz, I just heard about Walmart's no contracts straight talk plan. It will provide unlimited data and voice for $45 a month. I own an iPhone 5 and just canceled my Verizon service plan and paid their $320 cancellation fee.
Yikes.
How can I use it with the Walmart no contract straight talk plan? Are there steps that anything I need to do first? Thanks, Bethesda listener and fan. Well, the Walmart Straight Talk plan actually is out there, and what they do, they're actually purchasing in bulk rates the services from carriers, and then they simply remarket those products. And so the Walmart Straight Talk plan has actually got contracts with both AT&T and Verizon, and you can go to Walmart and you can get a CDMA phone, and then you can sign up for the Verizon for the Verizon network, but you're actually using Straight Talk. And or you could, if you get the GSM phone, you'll get the AT&T network. That's pretty much how it works. It's just a repackaging deal. It's a no-contract thing, so that it's quite convenient. Now, they say for $45, it's unlimited data and voice. Actually, I've been checking on that.
Aha.
It's really not unlimited data and voice. When you get to 2 gigabytes download in your data, they throttle you. It's called the soft cutoff. You do have unlimited data. It's just that the data that you receive above 2 gigabytes is so slow that you probably wouldn't be happy with it. Mm-hmm. So they're using it, that's throttling it. I think Walmart would be better off simply, you know, posting the fact that there's kind of a soft limit. When people went back and talked to them, they said, it's not always 2 gigabytes. I kind of look at what you're doing, and if you're listening to a lot of videos and really burning it up quickly, they'll throttle you sooner rather than later. So they said it's a kind of a soft barrier, but it is truly not unlimited. Now, what they've done, though, you have to buy the phone. You have to buy the phone for $650.
Oh, wow.
Because you're not getting the subsidy. But what Walmart does, it's very good. If you get a Walmart credit card, they'll let you put it on installments at $25 a month, interest-free.
Mm-hmm.
So think about it. You get your plan from Walmart. There's no contract for the data voice plan. So you pay $45 a month plus your $25 a month for your phone payment. So for $70 a month, and then after 2 years, you own your phone because, of course, it's paid off. And then you just go back to $45 a month. I mean, it's not really a bad deal, I think. And it's cheaper than if you'd go straight to Verizon or straight to AT&T. So it's not really too bad of a plan. Now, if you want to use your own phone, it has to be unlocked. So if you can unlock your phone, if you've got a GSM phone, you can unlock it. You can just pop in the Walmart Straight Talk SIM card. If you're running a CDMA phone, like with Verizon, they actually have to reprogram it. There's no SIM card, and that requires that your carrier permit that to happen. So one thing that my Bethesda listener, when you paid your $320 cancellation fee, you bought the rest of your phone. See, they're more or less charging you $25 a month,
mm-hmm.
and the remaining time on the contract you bought. So now you really own your phone. So you could go back to Verizon and ask them to unlock it, the GSM part. Because if you have the Verizon phone, you've got both GSM as well as CDMA. You could ask them to unlock the GSM portion of it for you. And you could always then sign up and pop in a SIM card for Walmart Straight Talk and run it as a GSM. Or you could, if Verizon will allow you to reprogram the phone as a CDMA and let you back on the network, you could do that. So you should be able to transfer your phone, but I've never seen a guarantee of transfer for the CDMA. They only talked about transferring it if you had unlocked GSM.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually not too bad of a plan. I think it's not a bad idea. They've got all kinds of remarketed networks over in Europe. They've been doing that for years. Like I got a 3 SIM card, and they were just remarketing the O2 network, which was remarketing the Vodafone network. So there's all this remarketing of networks, and they're trying to go after a different group. But it's actually a pretty good plan for those of you that are not heavy data users.
Interesting. I always like when your voice goes requires. I know that there's some big but coming.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yes, and so that and I did quite a bit of research on that, and people are reasonably happy with it.
Uh-huh.
Now, what I would recommend is that if you're going to buy the phone from Walmart, I would buy the CDMA phone because it comes with both CDMA as well as GSM. It's got them both. That's the beauty of it. And the Verizon network has a little better coverage than the AT&T network in the U.S. And since it's unlocked, you can use the GSM portion when you travel internationally. So that's what I've got. My iPhone's got both. It's a Verizon phone that's got both features, and so I just... And Verizon did unlock the GSM part, so I was using my 3 SIM card when I was in Ireland, which was really nice.
Yeah.
Let me just give an aside how that
Please.
Worked. It was kind of interesting. I paid €20 for the 3 SIM card.
Now, do you use different SIM cards depending on what country you go to?
Yeah, depending on what country.
Uh-huh.
Because I want a local SIM card, so it's a local call.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that for 20 euros, that gave me data for 30 days for my iPhone.
So you throw these out when you're done with them?
No, I save it. You can hang on to the SIM card and just recharge it when you... Yeah, I save it. And they'll normally keep it. I mean, now,
how many of these things do you have?
I've got a little plastic box full of SIM cards.
How do you remember which goes to which country?
Well, sometimes I have to experiment, to tell you the truth. Because after a while, you know, one SIM card looks like another SIM card.
Of course they do,
so I kind of experiment until I figure it out. And so what happened was, when you're in Ireland, incoming calls are free. And they were giving me unlimited data, and so even when my 20 euros was used up on voice calls, I still received data because I'd bought the data plan for 30 days, and I was still getting text messages, and I could get incoming phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, it was only 20 euros for the whole time I was there. And for, you know, local calls, it's just like 1 or 2 cents a minute. Now, the trouble is if I call back to the U.S., they charge me 35 cents a minute. So what I do, if I want to talk to somebody in the U.S., I text them. I say, give me a phone call.
Ah.
They call me, and it is not charged on my SIM card.
How about that?
So there you go. You're
just a ninja with that stuff.
That's right. I'd love to do that. We got an email from Richard Caputo. Good day, Dr. Schertz. I just checked the Stratford website, and I'm happy that the radio show can be heard here in California.
It can be heard anywhere.
That's right.
Like in Ecuador.
The radio talk show has always been one of the most informative and entertaining show to my ears. Richard Caputo, he's actually one of our graduates.
And, is he really?
And he's a former instructor. He's now teaching information assurance out at a school in California. And I always like to hear from our
graduates. That's
pretty
cool when you get to hear
instructors. Yeah, and so he's because he used to listen to Tech Talk while he was here in Virginia. Now he's. Maybe that was before I started the podcast. And now he just discovered the podcast.
Well, this is important because now you can tell your listeners, of course, that you don't have to be in D.C. How can people listen to us when we're not?
When you're not here, of course. So you can also listen over the internet by, if you want to listen to live stream, you can go to federalnewsradio.com and listen to the live stream. Or you can go to techtalkonline.com and you can sign up for the podcast.
And, of course, you can listen to it anytime you want that
way. You can listen to it. You don't have to get up at 9 a.m. Saturday morning, which, of course, is always problematic for people that are partying out Friday night.
Or in Ireland, or drinking in, warm
or,
Guinness.
Or, well, you notice I didn't do the show when I was in Ireland.
No, I noticed that. It would have been late in the afternoon.
They're four hours ahead of us.
Yeah. You could have done it.
I could have done. No, it would have been 4 hours. It would have been 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
We've tried to do that before on Skype when you were in China. Was it China?
I know, but I just
it gets risky.
I just didn't want to do that when I was, you know, St. Patty's Day week.
Yeah,
you know, that was
even more risky.
Would have been a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
We got an email from Alex. Dear Tech Talk, why was my computer locked by cyber cops when I did not do anything illegally to unlock it? I'm asked for a fine of $100. How do I know it's not a scam? Thanks, Alex. Okay, we had something. We had the FBI, malware that Veros wrote in a few weeks ago. This is another malware case, and it's a malware scam. The cyber cops are scammers. They're actually hackers. And what they're trying to do is extort $100 from you. You've picked up this malware infection probably from a website or you downloaded something. Unfortunately, it could be somewhat difficult to remove. My suggestion is that you run a program such as Windows Defender Offline to scan for computer malware before it actually boots. So you can, in other words, what you'd do is you would go to another computer, go to the Windows Defender site, and you can go to Windows Defender Offline, and that will then create a bootable DVD or CD. And then what you'll do is you'll boot your computer on that DVD or CD, and then it boots up on Windows Defender Offline, and it can scan your hard drive without the malware being installed. So it will locate the malware and remove it. And people have done that successfully. So, you know, best of luck. But definitely do not pay $100.
No.
We got an email from Roger in Alexandria. Dear Doc and Jim, my router goes offline quite often. Now, the way I usually resolve this is to unplug it and then plug it back in. and then I get right back online. What causes this sudden loss of internet connection through my router? Do you think are there any ways to prevent this from happening again? Love the show, Roger. Well, Roger, you've got some kind of connectivity problem. I mean, a few years ago, I had similar problems. I was an unreliable internet connection, and there are a couple of things that you can look at here. First, it could be that your router is not functioning properly. It's just losing the connection because there's kind of a keep alive function to keep a connection alive, and maybe it's not doing the keep alive function in order to stay alive. And so it could be a router problem. Now, or it could be a line problem where you don't have sufficient signal to noise and you periodically are losing your signal. And it could be that you've got a loose connection for the telco wire coming into the house, or maybe the wires got wet. That's what actually happened to me when I had these connectivity problems a few years ago. And I was actually running cable at the time. Now I've got Fios. And it turned out there was a bad connection where the cable had been buried underground, and there was a bad connection there. It hadn't been installed correctly way back in the very beginning, and actually I worked with Cox Cable, and they ran signal to noise measurements, and they determined that there was that my connection to the internet was lossy. And then we actually repaired that cable, and it worked fine. They also allowed me to take my router back down to Cox and swap it out just to see what was the router problem. Because when you swap it and put in a new router, they've got to register the new physical address. You just can't pop one in. It won't be authorized. So your ISP will work with you on that, and I think it's probably one of those two things. We got an email from Steve. Dear Tech Talk, I have Windows 7 on my PC and my browser's Internet Explorer 9. I'm using an external hard drive to back up the files and hold the files from my previous computer. Now, my computer shows that my 750 gigabyte external hard drive is full. Though I've added up all the files that I think I put on there, there's only 70 gigabytes on it. Now, I deleted 10 gigs of duplicate files, but it still reads full, and there's only a few megabytes left. What's the problem here? Thanks, Steve. Well, the first thing that comes to mind is that maybe you had when you were using that recycle bin, when you were using that previously, maybe you need to empty the recycle bin, and there could be files that have been deleted but not really deleted sitting in the recycle bin. And so you might want to just try that, first of all. Now, secondly, you may have a lot of hidden files. So you can actually, when you're using Windows Explorer, you can uncheck the option under Windows Explorer that says don't hide hidden files. You can do that under, you right-click under the properties. And then you can look at all the different hidden files that are there to see what's on there that you don't know about. Because it could be that if you had a prior operating system installed, there are a whole lot of hidden files that you just simply don't know about. But they're there, but you can't see them. You can unhide them, and you can look at them quite nicely. Now, a very nice way to analyze what's on the hard drive is a program called Tree Size, T-R-E-E Size. You can get that from Jam Software, and I'll post the link. But you can just actually Google Tree Size. You can download Tree Size, and then you can run it, and it will then analyze all the files on the hard drive, and tell you exactly what files are eating up all the space, and then you'll know exactly where to go after. And I ran that this morning just to sort of see how fast it was. I was able to scan my whole hard drive in about less than 10 seconds, and it gives you a nice map of how all the files are going there. So that's probably what I would do, just try Tree Size. Google it, and I'll have the full link posted later on in the show. We got an email from Graham in Ireland. He's one of the hotel managers over there that I've been working with for this study abroad program. Dear Tech Talk, I just got an iPhone 5 and love its feel and features, but I'm using the navigation system that came with it. It works pretty well, except in the city. Yesterday I was trying to find the Shelburne Hotel, and it directed me to some seedy part of town about 10 kilometers from the Shelburne. Now, my last phone was an Android. I didn't have this problem. What can I do? Thanks, Graham O'Toole, Virginia, Ireland. He's the guy at the Park Hotel. Well, actually, I asked Graham to write this letter because I was in the car with them.
And you wound up in the seedy neighborhood.
I said, Graham, exactly where are you taking me? I was in the car with them, and we locked the doors. We were getting a little worried there.
It didn't stop at stoplights.
No. And so what actually happened? The map program that comes with Apple, in many times, is just not accurate in cities. They sort of rush to get it out, and there are areas where they're just extremely inaccurate. They're trying to improve the accuracy as they go through the system, but they've got real problems. Mm-hmm. When you had the Android phone, you were using Google Maps. Now, the good news is, Graham, you can download Google Maps right to your iPhone, and then you'll have no trouble. And in fact, what we did, since I was sitting with Graham there, he downloaded
in the car in a bad neighborhood.
We were in the bad neighborhood. He pulled over. He downloaded Google Maps, and then we put in the address for the Shelburne Hotel. It took us straight to the Shelburne.
Wow,
perfectly. I mean, it was just we were there without any trouble at all. So I think Graham is actually a convert to Google Maps now. Plus, he also likes the voice on Google Maps than he likes the voice on Apple Maps.
I've always liked Google Maps, too.
Yeah, so there you go. That was a sort of a solicited email, if you will, because I thought it'd just be a nice topic.
Well, you're a multitasker, so yes. You're doing more over there than just, I was going to say a radio show, but this is not a radio show.
No, this is not a radio show. No, this is a classroom of the airwaves.
That's correct. You're also monitoring Facebook?
Oh, yeah, I'm monitoring Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/techtalkonline, and I'll be watching for your comments during the show.
And how would someone send you a letter to show up in the mailbag?
I am glad I'm with a true professional here. And we do love the email. Send your emails to techtalk@stratford.edu, and we'll cover them either on the show or I'll email you back. And, of course, you can always check out the Tech Talk homepage by going to techtalkonline.com. We got every show posted there all the way back to the year 2000.
And you are indeed listening to Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, and 107.7 FM HD2. We'll have more right after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Application and software developers shape our world. Those who design and build these systems are the leaders we follow. The School of Computer Information Systems at Stratford University's Tyson's Corner or Woodbridge campus offers programs with a real-world, hands-on education. In fact, many of today's Stratford IT grads are working in their chosen field. Make it work for you. Stratford University. Get working. Check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu. A rewarding future as a holistic caregiver or nurse practitioner. Combining the art of caring with the human science makes nursing today's breakout field. Stratford University's School of Nursing at the Tyson's Corner or Woodbridge campus offers a patient-centered approach with valuable core clinical training. Stratford provides a real-world education in nursing. In fact, many of today's Stratford nursing grads are working in their chosen fields. Make it work for you. Get working. Check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We're in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. And now it is time for
Profiles in IT.
Yes, now we're going to talk about today Stephen Wolfram. Stephen Wolfram is chief designer of Mathematica software application, as well as the creator of the Wolfram Alpha Answer Engine, which is a way to search the web. He's actually a child prodigy, and he started out in physics, which is why I like him. And he was also suggested by Bob in Maryland, one of our longtime listeners. Stephen Wolfram was born August 29th, 1959, in London, England. His father, Hugo, was a textile manufacturer and a novelist. And his mother, Sybil, was a professor of philosophy at the University of Oxford. He was quite a bright child. He went to high school at Eton. While he was at Eton, he published his first article on particle physics.
I mean, that's so like impressive.
At age 15.
Yeah, right.
Now, he said he was bored, and he dropped out of Eton prematurely in 1976 without graduating. Todd's mom saying, I don't know. There.
What are we doing
with Steve? And he dropped out. So then he entered St. John's College at Oxford at age 17, and he found the lectures were just awful. Those were his words.
Mm-hmm.
So he just worked independently.
He was bored.
Well, while he was at St. John's, he published widely cited papers on heavy quark production. That's a type of particle. At age 18, plus he published 9 other particle physics papers prior to 1978, when he was like still only 19.
Good grief.
But then he left St. John's College without graduating because he was just bored silly with the whole operation.
Clearly, he's a genius in all the stuff he already knew, right?
He's a child prodigy. Yeah. So then he went to Caltech. He went to Caltech, and he was like tinkering around there on particle physics. This is where Richard Feynman was there, and Gell-Mann with all the particle physics guys. And he was he actually did end up getting his PhD from Caltech at age 20. This was he got at age 20.
That's amazing.
And then he joined the faculty, and he received the first MacArthur Award in 1981, which was at age 21, which was for sort of like it was kind of the genius awards. Now our Tech Talk awards. Listener provided some additional color highlights of this time when he was at Caltech. It said Steve was on the verge of dropping out yet again from the PhD program because if he wasn't learning anything from his teachers, he just dropped out.
Sure.
But his professors knew that he was quite a prodigy in particle physics. They wanted him to get a PhD from Caltech. So they told him that there were some leftover sandwiches in the faculty lounge. He'd be welcome to have some. So when he went to the faculty lounge, he got there, and there was Feynman, Gell-Mann, and several other particle physics luminaries who were there. They closed the door. And while Steve was eating the sandwiches, they pulled out a few of his prior publications because he'd published already 10 papers, mm-hmm. and they quizzed him on the publications. And after he was finished, they said, congratulations, you just passed your PhD, and then you got a PhD from Caltech. So he actually got a degree before he could quit. So that's such a challenge to be a child prodigy.
Funny.
Yeah. Now, Wolfram's work with Jeffrey C. Fox on the theory of strong interactions is still used today in experimental particle physics. Wolfram led the development of computer algebra system, SMP, called Symbolic Manipulation Program, where it actually solves the algebra, actually does algebraic solutions, in the Caltech Physics Department from 1979 to 1981. Then he read the small print at Caltech in his contract. And it said that anything he created while working for Caltech was owned by Caltech.
Oops.
That just teed him off.
Yeah.
Because they owned SMP, which they ended up, you know, remarketing and selling. So he left Caltech. And he went to the School of Natural Sciences of the Institute of Advanced Studies at Princeton in 1983. And he studied cellular automata. Cellular automata, and these are basically algorithms where very simple things where you have a very simple set of rules. Like you could have like a group of cells, and you might have a rule where if two cells beside your cell are black, you turn white, and then they just keep replicating, going through these very simple rules, and you can create very complex results from very simple rules. So he studied cellular automata. And he produced a series of papers where he systematically investigated classes of elementary cellular automata. And he came up with a whole naming scheme, a way to measure their complexity, and he really became involved in that. In the middle 1980s, Wolfram worked on the simulation of physical processes such as turbulent fluid flow using cellular automata on the connection machine alongside Richard Feynman. So I guess Feynman followed him from Caltech there to Princeton. And they helped ignite the whole field of what ultimately became complex systems, because Stephen Wolfram felt that, physicists try to reduce everything to a set of very simple equations. But if you look at nature with all, the turbulence, the complicated way that clouds look, weather patterns, there's a lot of chaos in the in in the universe that's difficult to describe with a set of equations, and he thought it may be better to simulate it using cellular automata. So he tried to work on and analyze this whole field of complex systems. In 1986, Wolfram left the Institute of Advanced Study for the University of Illinois at Urbana, and he founded the Center for Complex Systems Research. In 1987, he co-founded a company called Wolfram Research. This is after he left academia. And Wolfram Research developed and marketed a computer algebra system, which was an extension of his earlier work that had been absconded by Caltech. And this was called Mathematica. And this was a way that people could do could do mathematics using symbols online. From 1992, and this, by the way, this was such a successful product that he made millions of dollars on that, marketing mm-hmm. that product. And you go to Mathematica, there's a whole nomenclature on solving mathematical problems using this, and people who are not experts in computer science are now able to get into very complicated numerical calculations using Mathematica. So it's an extremely powerful tool, and he made good money with that device. Then he went into kind of reclusion. He went back to his, and from 1992 to 2002, he worked on a controversial book, A New Kind of Science, which presents an empirical study of very simple computational systems. And the theory behind the book was that actually the universe doesn't have to be described by these complicated equations that, say, have been developed by physicists, say, for quantum mechanics, for, Newton's laws. But actually, it's the universe, he contended, was like a giant computer that was running a bunch of cellular automata, and that all of these things could be predicted through cellular automata. So he went into almost reclusion, and he wrote this 1,400-page book, which he published himself. And it was met with, I would say, mixed reviews by the scientific community, and so many people think this is a case of a child prodigy gone amok. He has summer workshops trying to be an advocate for a new kind of science, but more recently he started working on applying the techniques in a new kind of science to natural language parsing and interpretation. And he created an answer engine using the techniques out of A New Kind of Science, which is at Wolfram Alpha. And you can look that up, Wolfram Alpha. You can ask it questions in plain English, and it will go seek them out. So it's not just like a Google. It actually analyzes it, and then it looks up the data. It analyzes the data, and it formats it and gives you kind of like a little report in real time. It's quite a nice device. This engine is based on the natural processing language, a large library of algorithms, and answers to queries using the approach described in his controversial book, A New Kind of Science. Wolfram Alpha is one of the answer engines behind Microsoft's Bing. It's also one of the answer engines behind Apple's Siri, along with answer engine behind Google and Yelp. And so he's actually gotten quite a bit into this artificial intelligence with his latest foray. So he's an extremely intelligent guy who is almost unrestrained in what he wants to do.
It's pretty funny because as you were talking about, this is the driving force behind Google search. I am using his work here to try to figure out which sandwich it was that had lured him into the faculty lounge.
That's
couldn't
right.
find that.
No.
But there was a article that I stumbled across on the New York Times that said at the time all this was going around, he drove around in a battered red Toyota.
I can imagine that. And all of his particle physics guys are just in tears that he left the field of particle physics to go after cellular automata.
Well, that's fascinating stuff, and I hope you were paying attention to that, right? Because if you were, there's a chance for you to win fine food from us coming up when we play the pop quiz here on Tech Talk Radio on Federal News Radio, heard every Saturday at 9 o'clock on 1500 a.m. in Washington, 820 a.m. in Frederick, and, of course, in Northern Virginia on 107.7 FM HD2. More of Tech Talk right after this on Federal News Radio.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Tech
Technology is constantly changing. An effective IT manager must not only understand the possibilities and limitations of the technology, but also the requirements and constraints of the business world. Enhance your career today with a master's degree from Stratford University School of Computer Information Systems. Classes are offered day, evening, and weekends to match your busy schedule and are taught by experienced faculty members with industry experience. Earn your master's degree in as little as 15 months with an accelerated program in software engineering, information systems, information assurance, or telecommunications. Learn more about earning your master's degree from Stratford University at stratford.edu or call 1-800-444-0804. Disclose statements available at stratford.edu/disclosures. Stratford University, 1-800-444-0804.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
It's time for Washington's most popular and longest-running radio game show, the Stratford University Pop Quiz. Now, here's your host and star of our show. No, it's not Gene Rayburn. It's not Alex Trebek. It's not Richard Dawson. It's Dr. Richard Schertz.
This is a classroom of the airways, not just a simple radio show.
No, it's not.
And when there's a classroom, there has to be some way to assess whether the students have been listening. Mm-hmm. And we do that with the Pop Quiz. Now, if you get the correct answer to the Pop Quiz, you'll win two tickets to fine dining at the Escoffier Dining Room or at the Karem Dining Room at the Woodbridge. And, of course, you will also receive an A for the day.
But the food is way better than the A, because the A really, it's not like getting a PhD in the lunchroom, now, is it?
No, it really isn't. Okay. I think the A is really, you can't transfer that A to other radio stations.
No.
So it's not transferable. So it doesn't really work. So earlier in the show, we were talking about Stephen Wolfram. He, of course, is the chief architect of Mathematica Software and the man behind the Wolfram Alpha Answer Engine. But earlier in his life, he got a Ph.D. from Caltech in physics, and he was just ready to drop out, and the staff there at Caltech lured him back in order to nab him so they could award the Ph.D. before he dropped out. What did they use to lure him back?
Hope you were paying attention. And if you have that right answer, you need to get it to us post-haste. And the best way to do that is by calling us on the POTS line. If you're calling from west of London, England, it's 877-936-9333. East of Pasadena, California, 877-936-9333. And, of course, the wild card line is 877-936-9333.
And if you're calling from the bogs of Ireland, you can reach us on Skype by going to Tech Talk Radio 1, and that call will be forwarded directly to the studio. Now, of course, POTS stands for Plain Old Telephone System.
I'm sorry.
So the POTS line, we don't want you on the POT calling.
No.
We want you calling on the POTS
line. POTS
line,
your plain old telephone.
That's
right.
And,
of course, if you're in the bogs of Ireland, you don't want to use the maps on your iPhone to find the closest payphone.
That's right.
But if you had an iPhone, you could just call us from that.
That's right.
If you had the right SIM card.
I was walking through the bogs in Ireland, by the way. It's quite interesting. And they found many, many bodies in the bog.
Have they really?
Yeah. It's been one of the big archaeological sites there.
Again, the number is 877-936-9333.
The first domain name was registered 28 years ago. Symbolics.com was the first domain name ever registered. Symbolics.com. The site was first registered March 15th, 1985. Symbolics, the company, built computer systems in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and making workstations that ran on a software language called Lisp that was developed for artificial intelligence. Symbolics was making computer workstations before the term workstation even existed. The personal computer boom pretty much left Symbolics in the dust, though, and the company was still chugging along, making some type of highly specialized programming environments. It's now operating under a new domain name, symbolics-dk.com. It turned out that they decided to sell the domain name symbolics.com for a few bucks, And so they ended up selling it to someone, and then they took a new name, Symbolics-DK.com. Now, Symbolics.com is now used by a virtual real estate investment firm, XF.com Investments, and they bought it in 2009 for an undisclosed sum. The company's head, Aaron Meyerstadt, has since turned Symbolics.com into an internet museum of sorts that includes a brief history of the domain and a personal blog that he used to sell his business. So it's sort of been a corrupted domain name, but at least it does have a nice history.
Need you to talk about something else quickly here while our call screener gets our winner lined up.
Okay. Let me just – why don't you close that door over there?
Sure.
That would be very good. So, because there is so much concentration going here, we just have to say focused.
Focus.
Okay. Now, I want to ask you, Jim, do you know why snowstorms produce better thunder and lightning – don't produce thunder and lightning like rainstorms do?
Probably because of the temperature gradient between the upper atmosphere and the lower atmosphere.
My goodness, you are on top of it.
But see, I know weather.
You are on top of it. Okay, let's for the audience that isn't so informed about weather. Why don't we go through that?
Okay, good.
Okay, it turns out that when you have, of course, when it's raining in the summer, the lower atmosphere is warm, humid air, and above it, it's very cold and full of ice crystals. And as the warm air rises, it carries water vapor with it, and these molecules brush against the ice crystals, and this causes friction and creates an electric field in the cloud, like sort of rubbing your feet on the carpet. The ice crystals gain a slight positive charge, and the updraft carries them to the top of the cloud, giving the bottom of the cloud a slight negative charge. When it builds up enough, you get the lightning. Once the difference between them gets large enough, you'll get a big bolt of lightning and thunder. But in the snowy months, the atmosphere is cold and dry throughout, so there's no updraft to create the friction within the clouds, and the wind stirs the molecules and crystals. Some, but it doesn't actually create any kind of voltage differential. So there you go. Why snowstorms do not produce thunder and lightning as much as rain clouds do. Have we figured out the lines yet?
We have figured out the lines.
Excellent.
Please, it's one of those days.
Okay.
Let's go to line two. I believe this is Marianne calling, probably from Fairfax. Marianne, is that you?
Yes, that's me.
Is this a familiar voice?
Yes. Marianne from Fairfax. Okay, earlier in the show we were talking about the
Stephen Wolfram.
Yeah, and he was of course working just about ready to drop out of Caltech, and his professor wanted to give him the PhD. What did they lure him back with in order to engage him in his final dissertation defense?
Leftover sandwiches in the lunchroom.
That is correct.
That is the correct answer. Marianne, thank you for listening and thank you for calling today.
Yeah.
Hang on, we'll get your information and we'll send tickets to fine food and fine dining out
to
you.
That's right. Very
good. From Stratford University. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio. This is indeed Federal News Radio on 1500 AM, 820 AM, 1077 FM HD2, 1035 FM HD2. And we'll be right back with more Tech Talk right after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Budget analyst, a vice president of sales. These are today's business leaders, and a degree from Stratford University's Tyson's Corner or Woodbridge campus offers you a powerful path to navigate the corporate world. The School of Business Administration at Stratford University offers both bachelor's and master's degree programs for a real-world education. In fact, many of today's Stratford business grads are working in their chosen fields. Make it work for you. Get working. Check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu. An executive chef at a trendy restaurant, a hotel general manager at a prestigious resort. These are the high-profile positions in the culinary arts and hospitality management industry. Get working towards your bachelor's or master's degree at Stratford University's Tyson's Corner or Woodbridge campus. In fact, many of today's Stratford culinary arts and hospitality grads are working in their chosen fields. Make it work for you. Get working. Check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio.
IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We're in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. And this last week, it was a bad week for internet taxation.
Mm-hmm.
The Senate has decided to include internet taxes in their budget. By a vote of 75 to 24, the senators adopted an amendment to the Democratic budget resolution that by allowing states to collect taxes on remote sales, and that was designed to usher in the first national internet sales tax. The vote followed a week of fierce lobbying from the Retail Federation, the National Retail Federation, and the Retail Industry Leaders Association, which represents companies like Walmart, Target, AutoZone, Best Buy, Home Depot, Office Max, Macy's. The argument that online retailers, which in some cases do not collect sales taxes at checkout, enjoy an unfair competitive advantage over the big box stores. The amendment drafted by Mike Enzi, Republican from Wyoming, is non-binding, but nevertheless represents an important milestone for internet taxation. Many people believe that internet taxation is going to be the beginning of a slippery slope where they start charging more and more and more and more. And so there's been an effort to try to keep internet taxation off limits. But it looks like that's beginning to break down under the heavy pressure of deficit budgets. A Mac Trojan is on the loose. Dr. Web, a Russian antivirus firm.
Dr. Web. This sounds really official.
Dr. Web, yeah. Yeah, his first name must be Spider. Dr. Web, a Russian antivirus firm, has issued an announcement.
Dr. Boris Web, if it's Russian.
Dr. Boris Web, yeah. Regarding malware that's infecting Mac computers. They called it the Trojan Yontu 1.
Oh, really?
The Trojan Yontu 1. Once installed, it tracks the user's internet history and injects ads into websites, generate revenue for the people who created and unleashed the malware. So the idea is, you know, they've got these pay-per-click ads. You get a certain percentage if ads are displayed or if you click on them. And so they were just going to generate a whole bunch of additional ads that they could get paid for on your computer. And it was a way to earn money. But, of course, that's going to slow down the computer. Mm-hmm. Now, impacted by the new Trojans are users of computers running OS X with Safari, Chrome, or Firefox browsers. The Trojan is actually fairly straightforward. Users wander onto certain websites, attracted by the idea of watching a movie trailer. And then they're told that their viewing experience will be better if they install the free TwitTube.
Oh, boy.
I'm thinking, anybody that installs the free TwitTube
is indeed a twit.
Yes, right. If the user agrees to install the TwitTube, they're presented with a familiar-looking pop-up asking if they'd like to continue. And if they do continue, the Trojan will be installed into all browsers on the computer. Dr. Webb notes there are variants of the initial ploy that entice users. Some advertise on the new media player. Others promise speed. Other promise higher, faster download speeds. The end result for all of them is the same. The user is redirected to another page where they're prompted to download the program, which actually does nothing except install its Trojan app onto all available browsers. Fortunately for Mac users, the Trojan Yontu 1 is easy to spot and remove. It shows up as an app in all three browsers, such as Yontu, and can thus be disabled as with any other app or, you know, any other plugin. Once it's detected, the purpose of the Trojan appears to just be a mean to get more revenue from false page views. But it's, it's just watch it. And it used to be that nobody bothered with the Mac, mm-hmm. but now that Apple's, you know, on the rise, everybody's going after the Mac.
Gotcha. Let's take a break, Doc.
Okay.
One more break before we end up here.
All right.
This is Tech Talk Radio on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, and 107.7 FM HD2. More of our program right after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Yeah. Application and software developers shape our world. Those who design and build these systems are the leaders we follow. The School of Computer Information Systems at Stratford University's Tyson's Corner or Woodbridge campus offers programs with a real-world, hands-on education. In fact, many of today's Stratford IT grads are working in their chosen field. Make it work for you. Stratford University. Get working. Check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu. A rewarding future as a holistic caregiver or nurse practitioner. Combining the art of caring with the human science makes nursing today's breakout field. Stratford University's School of Nursing at the Tyson's Corner or Woodbridge campus offers a patient-centered approach with valuable core clinical training. Stratford provides a real-world education in nursing. In fact, many of today's Stratford nursing grads are working in their chosen fields. Make it work for you. Get working. Check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We're in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. Apple has patched their I Forget Password Reset page. This was actually quite a big buzz that happened just this last week. Apple's I Forget Password Reset page is now back online. It's been verified that the security hole discovered earlier in the week has been closed. Previously, after providing a victim's Apple ID, the date of birth, an attacker could send a URL to Apple that would change the password for that account. So all they needed was the person's Apple ID, which is typically just an email address, and their date of birth. And they'd be able to change the password without needing any additional security questions.
It's not good.
Okay, in response, Apple blocked access to the password reset page and a short while later took the entire site down in light of another loophole that had been that still allowed an attack to be performed. The vulnerability came at an interesting time just a day after Apple began to roll out the two-step verification process. Users who'd already enrolled in the new system seemed to have been immune from the password reset vulnerability. Activating a two-step verification is much safer. You see, one step, the one-step process, you go in, you answer some challenge question, and then they'll reset the password. The two-step is you answer the challenge question, and then they send you an email, and you have to then respond. You have to respond with that email in order to reset the password. So it's two steps, and the person has to be able to have control of your email account as well as know the challenge passwords, and it's much more secure.
Good.
Two-step verification is also available for Gmail, by the way, and I highly recommend that you activate it. It's optional whether you activate it, but I'd highly recommend it. Google has said they plan to keep Android and Chrome separate. If you remember, about a couple of weeks ago, so actually while I was in Ireland, Andy Rubin, who was the developer of Android and ran the Android project at Google, was moved to a top-secret project and is no longer running the Android system. And the entire Android development team was put under Sundar Pichai, who oversees the Chrome operating system. And that then got people thinking, maybe they're going to combine Chrome and the Android together. But Eric Schmidt said there's a lot of commonality between Android and Chrome, but they're going to remain separate for a very long while. He noted that Android is more for phones and tablets, while Chrome is more for desktops.
Mm-hmm.
And he said they've got the same thing going on at Apple. They've got the iOS for mobile devices, and they've got OS X for desktop units. What they're trying to do is they're trying to make the features for the two systems very similar, so you can go back and forth, and there's a Google theme that carries between the two, but they're not necessarily merging them. Now, if they could get the look and feel between the two systems so similar, it could be possible that at some future date they could combine them, but it's going to be a good long while, and that's really not the objective of what's going on there. So it's kind of just watch to find what's going on. One of the big items is that people are talking about, the Google self-driving car.
Yeah.
You've heard about that. I've got a picture of that on the page there. You see that? It's a laser radar system on the top that's got that sort of like a little dome
and
on the top of it.
You'll be able to see this online later at techtalkonline.com when you post the outline,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that will be. So okay. it has a number of sensors. It's got a 64-beam laser rangefinder. So it's looking in 64 different directions at the same time, getting range data. It has four radar units. And see, the radar units are more for distance, you know, distance to cars in the area. It has a front-looking camera, a rear-looking camera. It's got a GPS system, inertial measurement system, and it's got wheel sensors, so it knows what the wheels are up to. The onboard computer uses the sensor data to create a 3D map, apply custom algorithms, and compute a safe driving path many times a second. The cars have now been driven more than 300,000 miles, and there have been no accidents so far while the car is under the computer's control.
Interesting.
There have been accidents when it was under driver's control.
Of course.
But while it was under the computer control, there have been no accidents.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. One of the insights that people quickly have when they ride in these cars is that it's obvious that the computer is a vastly better driver than a human could ever be. You know, with lasers and radar for eyes, it's monitoring 64, you know, directions
well,
all at the same time.
You can look one direction at a time as a human.
Yeah, it has an extraordinary amount of input. It can react quickly to surprises and quicker than the human ever could. And it never looks down at the seat to read a text message. It's never looking at a cell phone to read a text
message.
And
it's never eating a fillet of fish while it's driving.
It's never
either.
Eating a fillet of fish, and it really never drinks a Guinness. So the same. But there are challenges.
Mm-hmm.
These are the challenges. The first challenge is driving in snow. When snow is on the road, the cars often have a tough time seeing the lane markers and other cues to stay in the correct lane
this
and being
be
well positioned.
Problem.
Interesting to see how the team sorts out that one. The second challenge is when the car encounters a change in the road that's not reflected in its onboard map.
Mm-hmm.
In those situations, the car gets lost. Just the way humans do, and they're having trouble. You know, you just can't go through the barrier.
Run into a tree or whatever.
Then the third challenge is driving through a construction zone or accident zone or other situations where there's a human directing traffic with hand signals, because it's hard to figure out the hand signal, especially when the light is red and the policeman is telling you to go through.
Right.
So when the hand signals conflict with the traffic light or the stop sign, the car gets confused.
Or to think about this. You've had a Guinness, you put it on the onboard computer, and then you go through a DUI checkpoint, right?
That's right.
The car's not going to sense that.
It would be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be a big problem. So they're trying to work on those. More than likely, they're going to phase this thing out where you just have open highway working, interstate working, and gradually as they work out these bugs, as they put more sensors in the lines, they'll handle this thing.
Is this something that you would add onto your car, or is this something the car manufacturers are eventually going to put into vehicles, do you think?
Eventually, they'll be built into the vehicles, yeah. I mean, right now, the gear that Google has added to this car, the gear itself is $100,000.
Good grief.
So it's a
long way off.
It'll be a while.
Use it. As bad as a driver as I may be, I like to drive a car.
That's right. It is nice, but if you're taking a long drive on the interstate
and you want to take a break
and it's a 10-hour trip.
Sure.
You know, you sit there, your leg gets cramped. Isn't it nice to just be able to take your hands off the wheel, hands off the gas, and just let the car go for a while?
So that's a good idea.
And so in that situation, I think it'd be quite safe.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to watch the other situations. You know, there's a very low internet penetration in India, which I think we'll probably get to next week.
Yeah, probably
we're running out of time. I'll talk about what's going on in India.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, we love your emails.
Email us
at techtalk@stratford.edu. And you can always sign up for the podcast either by going to techtalkonline.com or going to Apple iTunes and looking up Stratford Tech Talk. And we love your emails. Send us your emails. We'll get right back to you on that. And go to stratford.edu and check out the programs and let them know you heard about them on Tech Talk.
And if you like this show, you can hear it again tomorrow at 5 p.m.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program. WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWT-FM HD2 Manassas. This is Federal News Radio, on the air at 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com. The only radio station in the world dedicated to serving the federal executive and government contractor. It's our mission to provide news and information that helps federal managers do their job better and help facilitate the business of government. Federal News Radio talks to the people who make government work to build a sense of federal community, discuss best practices, and explore lessons learned. Every weekday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Federal News Radio interviews federal newsmakers one-on-one to explain how their news affects agencies and contractors. The Washington, D.C. home of Navy athletics. Nights and weekends, WFED broadcasts all the action of the Navy midshipmen, George Washington Colonials, American University Eagles, Washington Nationals, and the Washington Capitals. Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m. and federalnewsradio.com.
Sports on the radio today at 105. It's the Nats and the Mets from Port St. Lucie. Gio Gonzalez takes the mound for the Nationals. And at 10:15 tonight, the Wizards are on the coast against the Golden State Warriors. You'll hear that game here on Federal News Radio. Weather forecast, mostly sunny, mid-50s today. Maybe a sloppy mess coming up on Sunday night. Right now, it is 37 degrees in D.C.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers.